Well, happy Easter, Christ Chapel. Man, so great to worship with you this weekend, no matter where you're worshiping or if you're worshiping with us online. Thanks for worshiping this Easter weekend with the Christ Chapel family. I love you with all of my heart. And I know that you've got things to do this weekend. You got places to go, people to see, things to do. And one of those things that you might have to do is some spring cleaning. And the reason why I say that is because I read a study that said that 86% of Americans plan on spring cleaning. And March is actually the most popular month. So if you're planning on that, you're running out of time quickly. But many people want to do some spring cleaning because they want that fresh start. So one of the most popular reasons why people do spring cleaning is to clear out or clean out or organize clutter. We've all got it. It's all in your homes. I know it, but that's why they want to do it. And so you can imagine the most popular thing that people clean out is their closets. Exactly. Their closets. That's what they go after. Those places that are full of clutter. And people love doing that. And I know that when I'm talking about spring cleaning, some of you, I'm speaking your love language. You love it. Like Container Store is your favorite place. You have containers for your containers and all of that stuff. You love it. But you're not like everybody else, okay? There are other people in this world, like myself, that sometimes when we look at cluttered areas and spaces, I don't know what to do. And so what I want to do, there is one strategy that I employ, and that is just scrap it all. Just throw it all away. Now, oftentimes that causes marital conflict, and I apologize if I'm causing that now. But that is one strategy. When you don't know what to do, when you look into that closet or the garage or the attic or whatever space that you want to clean and you want a fresh start, you don't know how to organize it, you don't know where to start, you just scrap it all. Just throw it all away, which is really easy to do with material things. Really hard to do with immaterial things. You see, what if you want a fresh start that has nothing to do with garages or attics, but it has things to do with the closets of your heart, the closets of your mind? How do you get a fresh start with those things? Not easy to scrap, you know, old memories or mistakes or regrets. Oftentimes, those are the fresh starts that we really want. We just don't know how to get there. We don't know how to have a new beginning. We don't know how to have a fresh start with those things where we need them the most. But the good news is, that's what Easter is all about. Easter is all about new beginnings and fresh starts, and that's what we're going to talk about today. If you've been with us this calendar year, we've been studying the book of Genesis, and we've called the series Go Back to the Beginning, and the reason why is because we've gone back to the beginning to look at how God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, and we looked at the Creator's design and how He intended things to relate to one another and to function, and the reason why we've done that is because I believe, and I believe the Bible teaches, that when we align ourselves to our Creator's design, his intentions, life works better. It works better when we align ourselves to the way that we were designed by our designer. And that's how it was originally intended to be, but then sin entered the world and death, disease, destruction, decay, all of it came into the world because we brought it into the world. And it made a very chaotic, uninhabitable place. Nobody would want to be there. And so here's my question on this Easter. What do you do if you can't go back to the beginning? What do you do if you can't go back there to Eden? I mean, because I think when we think about it, we would all love to go back there. We would love to go back to the beginning. We'd love to go back to where everything was innocent, where everyone was rightly related to one another, where nobody was killing each other, nobody was hurting one another. There wasn't all of those things that really destroy our lives today. We wish we could go back there, but what if we can't? How do we get a fresh start and a new beginning in the middle of a broken and messy world? Well, that's the Easter message today. And so what I want to do is I want to pick up where we left off as a church. We left off last week in Genesis chapter 6, where the world was not in a great state. But God made a way for folks then in Genesis chapter 6 to have a new beginning. And although the circumstances were different then than they are now, the concept is still the same. God provided a way for them to have a fresh start and a new beginning then, and he gives us an opportunity today to have that same fresh start, that same new beginning. So we're going to cover some highlights in Genesis chapter 6. I'll make some correlations to this Easter, and I'll give you some applications, because we're going to cover a wide swath of scripture from Genesis 6 to Genesis 9, and this covers the account that is Noah's Ark. Now, many of you know of Noah's Ark. You've probably heard of that story before, but it's far deeper than God just creating this portable petting zoo that takes, you know, these animals to a new place. It has everything to do with Easter. It has everything to do with you and me today. So I want to give you some good news about these new beginnings from Genesis. So the first one is this, that new beginnings can start now. New beginnings can start now. And the reason why I say that is because I think oftentimes when we think about new beginnings, we look for inspiration, we look for motivation, and certainly we look for preparation. You know that you've got to prepare. If you want to do some spring cleaning, you've got to set aside the time, you got to go get the bins and the tools and the label makers and the everything else that you want to do some spring cleaning. And sometimes we can overload ourselves waiting for that inspiration, waiting for that motivation, or never preparing so that we just don't do anything at all. And so we just never get around to digging into that mess, but God does. God does intervene in our mess. If you look at the situation in Genesis chapter 6, it says this. This is how it describes the world. The wickedness of man was great, and every intention of their thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It goes on to say in verse 11 that the earth was corrupt and filled with violence. If you were looking for a spot to vacation this summer and you saw this description on TripAdvisor, you probably wouldn't want to go there. But this was the state of the world at that time. And because sin had corrupted every human being and corrupted every part of the earth, God said, I'm going to send a flood of judgment on sin, but also a way to give the earth a fresh start. And here's why I think this is important to understand, is because if you're God, you don't have to try to recreate the earth. You can just create a whole new earth if you want. You could just scrap everything and go, you know what? That was awful. Let's do Earth 2.0. And just speak it into being. Just go, hey, erase that and let's do this. Done. But he doesn't. He doesn't scrap the earth. He intercedes. He gets his hands dirty. He gets into the mess of earth to provide a way for people to have a fresh start and a new beginning. And that's the same with Jesus. That's what we celebrate on Easter. Is that Jesus didn't scrap us, but instead entered into a messy and broken world that didn't want to have anything to do with him. That's the earth that he stepped into because he cared about you and he cared about me. And I don't know what kind of mess or brokenness or mistakes or how chaotic your life is right now, but you don't have to wait to have a fresh start. That fresh start can begin today because God is in the business of entering into messy situations. He did it in Genesis 6, he did it in the Gospels, and he still does it in each of our lives today. It's good news about new beginning is that it can start now. Don't wait. But the other good news is this, that new beginnings necessitate help. New beginnings necessitate help. Now you might say, Cody, how is that good news? Is that I've got to have help for a new beginning? Well, it's good news because you need help with this kind of new beginning. because all of us have sinned. There's nothing you can do about that sin. You can't wash it away, you can't wipe it off, and you can't run from it. It is stuck to you. You can't do anything. You need help. And if you look up, if you just Googled today, if you just Googled how to have a fresh start, you would find a list of all of these different things that you can do. Move to a new city, set new goals, get new friends, all of these different things, but it's all dependent upon you. Doesn't offer any, there's no help for a new beginning. It's all up to you. But God knew that if it was up to us, we would have no hope. So he provided help. And that's why he told Noah this very simple command. Noah, build an ark. Build an ark. Now, this is part of the story that many of you know. This is what Noah would have built. This is the replica that's in Kentucky. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet deep. It was three stories filled with thousands of stalls and zero restrooms. This would have been a realtor's nightmare trying to sell. But this is what God told Noah to build to withstand the flood of the judgment that was about to be poured on the earth. This was the help that he was providing for anyone who wanted it. That ark was available for anyone to get onto that ark and find safety from the flood. And this wasn't just a short period of time. We don't know exactly how long it took to build that boat, but it would have taken decades to build that boat. Some people think it even took 100 years to build it. And we know from 2 Peter that the entire time that Noah is building that boat, he is pleading with everyone. Said he was preaching a message of righteousness, saying, this is what's coming. Judgment is coming in a flood, and you need God's help. This is his means to help you survive the flood. Please get on the ark. That is what he was saying constantly. He was constantly giving that help. And here's why I think that's important, is because God told Noah to build an ark. He didn't tell Noah learn how to swim. He didn't say, there's a big flood coming, Noah, get to the gym. Work on your breathing, because you're going to have to dog paddle for a long time. He knew that we would drown in our sins. And that's why he sent help in his son, Jesus. And you receive that help, that free gift of salvation in Jesus only through faith, which is the last part of the good news about new beginnings, is new beginnings require faith. New beginnings require faith. Noah had a ton of faith in this account, and it's one of the reasons why he's included in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Hall of Faith. And I want you to think about the faith that Noah had. Let me give you a few categories here. First, Noah had faith in God's word. He had faith in what God told him. And you might go, okay, Cody, that's obvious. Everybody in the Bible, you know, they believe God's word. Well, hold on. It's pretty miraculous here what he believed, what God said. When God told him it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights, guess what? It had never rained. Think about that. It had never rained beforehand. And God tells Noah, hey, it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And Noah's like, okay, cool. What's rain? I've never seen it. I don't know what that's like. But you're telling me that something is coming that is not good for me, and therefore I need to build an ark. He had faith in what God said. And he had faith not only in what God said, but he had faith that what God said would work. That it would work for him, that, hey, if I build this ark and I get into it the way that you tell me to, then it's gonna save me this gopher wood, as it says here, or cypress wood, and the pitch, and all of this stuff. It's going to say, I'm going to believe that what you said is actually gonna come true, God. That's faith. That's the faith that Noah had, but he had to also put his faith into action. It's one thing to believe, this is coming and this is what I need to do. It's another thing to follow through and actually get on the ark, and that's what Noah does. Noah gets on the ark, and he gets on the ark, and let me tell you, God takes him to a new beginning. He takes him and gives him a fresh start. That the parallels of his fresh start in Genesis chapter 9 versus Genesis chapter 1 and 2 are uncanny. Listen to the parallels that happen. And here's the fresh start that God gave Noah. He calms the waters. The waters recede. Dry land appears. Then he brings forth animals and human beings. To Noah, he says, be fruitful and multiply. And Noah starts a garden. Does that sound similar at all to Genesis chapter 1 and 2? Chapters 1 and 2? Please say yes. Okay, good. It's the same thing. It's this fresh start. It's this new beginning. Noah's living in the midst of this corrupt world, and he goes, I wish I could go back to the beginning. I wish I could make it happen. I just can't make that happen. God goes, I can make it happen. I can give you a fresh start. I can give you a new beginning. And that's what he provides for Noah through faith. And that new beginning is available to you today. This Easter, that's what Easter's about, are fresh starts and new beginnings. And if you've never had a relationship with Jesus Christ, then let me give you one application this Easter, and it's very simple. Get in the ark. Get in the ark. And you say, you want me to go to Kentucky? No. Texas is the best. No. But ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is our ark. God sent an ark for Noah to save him from the flood of judgment that was coming upon the world. That same word ark that's used there in Genesis chapter 6 is used of Moses in the Nile, saving Moses for God's plan, giving him a new and fresh start. And the same is true of Jesus. Jesus' cross is what gives us a fresh start, a new beginning, because he took on and incurred the wrath that we all deserved and therefore offers safety and refuge for us so we don't have to incur, we don't have to experience the judgment that all of our sin deserves. Jesus is our ark. That's why he says in John chapter 10, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He's the ark that carries us through so that we don't have to experience the judgment that our sin deserves. Because the situation in Genesis might sound a whole lot different, but it's not. See, everyone there was sinful. And guess what? Everyone today is sinful. You and me. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us. And when I say sin, I mean we live lives, think thoughts, everything that is contrary to God's holy character or is contradictory to his perfect commands, the way he intends us to live. We all say, I want to go my own way. We all walk away from him, and that deserves judgment. We leave the safety net of a relationship with him. And that's why he opens his arms. He opens the door and says, you can come into me and be saved. You can come into the ark because the wages of sin is death. That's what everyone deserves. That's what it deserved in Genesis. That's what it deserves today. And you might say, I don't know what that looks like. Yeah, this is eternal death, eternal separation from God. And you might not know what that looks like. Personally, I don't even have a category for that, but it scares the life out of me. And it's something that you've never heard of, maybe even ever thought of. It sounds like rain to you, like it sounded like rain to Noah. But let me tell you, God is warning you. He's saying, this isn't good. I don't want to scrap you. I want to save you. That's why God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. He died for our sins. While the world was in a mess, God sent an ark. While we were in a mess. We were broken and sinful. God sent his son Jesus to die the death that we deserve, but he also rose from the dead so that we can experience that abundant eternal life with him. We only experience it by faith, believing, placing our faith in him, that there's no other way to get right or reconciled to God. There's no way you can pay the penalty for your sins. No way. That penalty is eternal separation from God. But he's willing to take it for you. And if you do, he gives you a new start, a fresh beginning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Genesis 6 is gone. Genesis 9 is here. You want a fresh start. You want a new beginning. You want a God that can repurpose the hurts, that can repurpose the regrets, that can redeem those flaws, that can work all things together for your good. That's only found in Jesus. Get in the ark. And if you've already placed your trust in Jesus Christ, you've already made that decision, but praise God, I'm so thankful. Let me give you one quick application this Easter, and it's very simple. Give God control. Just give God control. I pointed out the dimensions of the ark, but let me tell you another couple things about what the ark was. It didn't have a steering wheel. There was no steering wheel. There were no sails. There was no way for Noah to direct where that ark was going to take him. He had to completely trust that wherever it was going, God would lead him through, and God would take him to a place that was best for him. You see, sometimes I think we don't find those new beginnings and those fresh starts because we want to be control. We tell God the way that it should look. And he's going, hold on. If I love you enough that I sent my son for you, why would I take you and direct you to someplace that's just awful? Why? It doesn't make any sense that way. Would you give God control and say, God, I do need a new start. I do need a fresh start and a new beginning, and I am going to give you control. And some of you might be saying, well, why should we even trust that, Cody? Why should we trust that he should be able to do that and can do that for us? It's because of what endured the flood. You know, oftentimes when we think about what endured the flood, we certainly think about Noah. We think about his family that had faith as well. And we also think about what else endured the flood? The animals. Good. Yep, the animals. But oftentimes what we don't think about that endured the flood was the ark. The ark endured the flood. And people are searching for that ark today that had the animals and Noah's family on it, and they can never find it. But guess what? Jesus is the ark that endured the flood. Jesus took on the flood of God's wrath and judgment for our sin, and he died for our sins. He was buried for 3 days, but then he rose again. He endured the flood, and he is alive today. You see, people can't find that ark, but you can find that ark of Jesus today. He is alive, he is walking, he is listening to you, he is walking with you, he is there to lead you and guide you to abundant and eternal life. He's alive. That's what we celebrate on Easter. Not just that someone died, but that someone was raised from the dead, that he's alive today. And if he's alive today, he is not only there to walk with us, he is not only there to have a relationship with us, but he paves a path to eternal life as well. This is why he says in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me, though they die, they shall live. We go from life to life only because the ark of Jesus Christ. You need a fresh start. You need a new beginning this Easter, then get in the ark and give God control. He wants to take you to a better place with him. Let me pray for us. God, we thank you for seeing the needs that, honestly, we didn't even know that we had. We thought our sin was relative. We thought we're pretty decent people. We didn't know how offensive our sin was to you, but you intervened to not only show us the truth, but to lead us to life. Because you didn't want sin to put an end to us. You wanted to put an end to sin in our lives. So Lord, we thank you that you did that by taking on our sin, by dying in our place, but also rising from the dead to ever live and intercede for us. What a Savior we have. Lord, if there's anyone here who hasn't placed their faith in you, I pray that they would do that they would get in the ark, and that this Easter would be a new beginning, a fresh start like they've never seen. It's what you've brought for us, and it's what you promised to them. And it's in our risen Savior's name we pray. Amen.